Reading this morning is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Please stand in honor of God's word. Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds now that we might hear what you have to say to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue on our spiritual fitness challenge, and today it's about generosity. Bruce Larson tells how he helped people struggling to surrender their lives to Christ. He said, "For many years, I worked in New York City and counseled in my office any number of people who were wrestling with whether or not they should make the decision to follow Christ." And he said, "Often I would suggest that they walk with me from my office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. In the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man who, with all of his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under this burden. Now, that's one way to live," he would tell them, "trying to carry the world on your shoulders. But now come across the street with me." And he would take them on the other side of Fifth Avenue to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there behind the high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old. And with no effort, he is holding the world in one hand. And he says, "My point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, 'I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world, the whole world.'" Well, maybe what happens when we put our entire life in Jesus' hands is that we begin to hold things and people more loosely, because the bigger picture of eternal life can be seen more sharply. It was in the midst of Jesus' teaching about discipleship that a man in the crowd says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It was not uncommon for people in Palestine to take their unsettled disputes to a respected rabbi, but Jesus refuses to get mixed up in the dispute. Instead, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach about an attitude in regards to possessions for followers of his. He obviously knows the heart of this man. He was looking for Jesus to settle the matter of the inheritance, yet Jesus was more concerned about his attitude, as well as the attitude of his followers, including you and me, regarding possessions. And Jesus tells this parable of the rich fool. A rich man produced a good crop. He has no place to store his crops. And the man obviously had enough, a sufficient amount. A storage place was not the issue. He had a place to store his crops because he had barns. It was the abundance that is his concern. That is why it was necessary for him to tear down the old barns and build bigger and bigger ones. He wanted more and more. Actually, in our society, we would have probably considered him to be a great success. He's done well, we would say, that he needs to build more for his growing business. But Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Jesus wasn't criticizing the man's wealth, but it was the man's attitude toward his wealth. Look at the man. He's self-centered. You hear I and me throughout this whole situation. He's focused on the here and now. He has no relationship with the Lord, as there's no thanksgiving present in any way for how he has been blessed. And he doesn't have an inkling in this passage of helping anyone in need. However, he certainly gets a wake-up call. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. This parable really makes us stop and think about our lives. How much do we have? Are we self-centered? Is our focus on the here and now? What about our relationship with the Lord? Are we really grateful to the Lord for what we do have? Or do we believe that, look, I earned it with all my hard work? Was it on our ability alone? Or do we seek to really help people in need? Do we sacrificially give to further the kingdom of God? In the parable, God says, you fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? What if tonight, this very night, your life is demanded of you? Sometimes we don't like to face the fact, the inevitable fact, that we're all going to die. Or Christ will return before that happens, whichever one comes first. There will be an end to this earthly life. And so if tonight was going to be the very night, and the Lord looked you and me in the eye, what would he say to us regarding our generosity with what he has given to us? Randy Alcorn has written a wonderful little book, and it's entitled The Treasure Principle. And he has in there six principles that really make us help, or really helps us stop and think about this. First, treasure principle number one, God owns everything. I'm his money manager. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God owns everything, and we are his investors. Are we investing in something that will yield great eternal rewards? Or will we yield just earthly rewards that will be left behind when we go? The outstanding Baptist preacher, Dr. George W. Truett, was helping a struggling congregation raise money for their church building. And they still needed $6,500, and Truett found the response very weak from this congregation that he was visiting. With only $3,000 pledged, he said in exasperation, "Do you expect me to give the other $3,500 needed to reach your goal? I'm just a guest here today." Suddenly, a woman near the back stood, looking at her husband seated on the platform recording pledges. She said in a shaky voice, "Charlie, I wonder if you would be willing for us to give our little home We were offered exactly $3,500 cash for it yesterday. If the Savior gave his life for us, shouldn't we make this sacrifice for him? Truett reported that the fine husband responded with equal generosity. Yes, Jenny, I was thinking the same thing. This obviously was many years ago. The house was $3,500. He said, if it's needed, he tells this visiting preacher, we'll raise our pledge by $3,500. Silence reigned for a few moments. Then some of the folks began to sob. Those who 15 minutes earlier had refused to do more now either added their names to the list or increased their donations. And in a short time, their goal had been achieved. And Charlie and Jenny did not have to forfeit their home. But their willingness to sacrifice so much stimulated generosity amongst all of the others. The second treasure principle, my heart always goes where I put my money. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us God loves a cheerful giver. A mother gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar before church. Put whatever you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself, she told the girl. When they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection plate, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I just gave a quarter, so I did. Well, that's not quite how it works. Giving is an act of worship. And God doesn't want our leftovers. He wants the first fruits of our giving. And when we give those first fruits, we should give it with a cheerful heart because of all that God has done for us. The third treasure principle, heaven, not earth, is my home. Philippians 3:20 tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And so we're called to be generous in the here and now. A woman returned home from a holiday shopping spree with her arms loaded with packages. Her husband met her at the door and said, what did you buy? With prices as high as they are, I'll bet you spent a fortune. I hate to think what has happened to our nest egg. I'll tell you what happened to our nest egg, she said, as she began to put her packages on the dining room table. The old hen got tired of sitting on it. Now, I know there's some women here that will just love to take that home today. But, you know, our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. And that's where our focus needs to be when it comes to our possessions. Treasure principle number four. I should not live for the dot, in other words, my life on this earth, but for the line, my life in heaven, which is going to be into eternity. Matthew 6:19-21 tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jim Elliot has said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I love that quote. That's a great quote. There's a story of a brother who was a pastor in Texas when H.Z. Duke, the founder of Duke and Ayers Nickel Stores, asked him if he believed in tithing, to which he replied that he did, and Mr. Duke then asked him if he practiced tithing. And he answered, no, I don't. I believe in tithing, but I cannot practice it. You see, I have 13 children at home. Every meal, 15 of us sit down at the table. I receive only $125 a month, $1,500 a year as salary. I have to maintain my horse and buggy for constant traveling. It is just impossible to take care of all the needs of a family of 15 out of $125 a month and have money left to tithe. So I believe in tithing and I preach it, but I cannot practice it. Oh, well, Mr. Duke then said, I want you to set out to give God at least $12.50 every month as soon as you get your salary. Then as you feel led, you may give more. I promise you, if you need help, I will give it. Simply write me a letter and say, Brother Duke, I'm giving a tithe, but I miss the money. I need it for my family. I've given this year so much. I promise you that I will send you a check by return mail. Are you willing to try tithing on that basis? Well, the brother was excited at the offer, and so he began tithing. That year, God took care of his needs in unexpected ways so that he never had to send a letter to Mr. Duke. Near the end of the year, he realized that he had trusted Mr. Duke's promise to provide for him more than he had trusted God's promise. He said, I had taken the word of a man when I did not take the promise of God. Now, I had proven God's promises and found that he took care of me and my big family on a small salary. I found that $112.50 per month took care of our family better with God's blessing than did $125 without being blessed. I know people who have taken that challenge, and it's amazing. I remember one couple in Shadyside, I preached on tithing, and I told them, just try it for a month or two. Just try it. And just see if God will provide. Well, she's right now, and they both had very good salaries, and she's writing out this check that was a considerable check to the church. And he looked at it, and he said, you're giving that much to the church? And she said, yeah. She says, you know what? We've had enough money to take care of everything. It's amazing how God, if you take that challenge, just try. If you do not tithe, I encourage you to try it for a month or two and watch how God will take care of your needs. Treasure principle number 5, giving is the only antidote to materialism. Psalm 49:16 through 17 says, do not be afraid when some become rich, when the wealth of their houses increases. For when they die, they will carry nothing away. Their wealth will not go down after them. You know the joke. There's no U-Haul behind what? A hearse. That's right. You can't take it with you. The editor of a Baptist newspaper, Irwin MacDonald, went to school during the 20s when most people did not drive an automobile, and he lived 8 miles from the high school, and he did not even own a bicycle. However, one of his former school teachers had a Model T Ford and the daughter who also wanted an education. So the father told the young man that he could have his transportation free if he would consent to drive the car and obviously take the girl with him to school. The young man carefully deliberated for a half a second and said he would do it. It turned out to be a very good arrangement. He not only obtained his education, but ended up marrying an older sister of the girl that he drove to school. In addition to this, he received some excellent advice from his future father-in-law. The day he turned over the key to the lad, he said, Irwin, watch the oil. It won't run without gas. But you can be driving down the road thinking all is well, and you can be burning out the motor for lack of lubrication. Mr. MacDonald later saw this as a parable on life. As a car will not run without gasoline, so we cannot function without food and clothing, rest, and some of the material things in life. However, It is possible to eke out an existence without giving thought to spiritual realities. It is a tragedy that a person can go day after day with his heart set on the things of earth, not realizing that this life is being destroyed because he is running without spiritual oil. All the comforts and conveniences this earth can afford will never satisfy the deepest needs of the soul. You may have a lovely home, a new automobile, and a colored TV, but are you watching the oil? Be wise, put the things of God first, he says. And finally, the last treasure principle is number 6. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. You know, you cannot outgive God. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 11 tells us, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I don't know if any of you like those Steve Hartman stories, you know, the guy on CBS, and it's On the Road with Steve Hartman, and he usually has you crying by the end of the story. Well, he had told a story a while ago about Eugene Hugh. And God called him. He was sitting out on his deck, and it's like God spoke to him that he was to do a random act of kindness, a big random act of kindness. And so he was on Facebook, and he sees this man. The Facebook was the Facebook of a man named Arthur, who had been mugged, who had been shot, and was paralyzed. And he was determined that he wanted to walk again. So Eugene learned about some kind of an exoskeleton device that actually can help someone who is paralyzed walk. So Eugene quit his job, and he began hiking from the California-Mexican border up to Canada to raise $80,000 so this total stranger could walk. Later, as he's going along on the hike and he's making these videos along the way and putting it out on Facebook, and he reached the goal of $80,000, and you can just see him so excited in this hike that he has made this money to, you know, raised this money for this individual. And then it shows you in the hospital where the man has on the exoskeleton device, and he walks into the arms of the total stranger who gave so much so that that man would walk. But Eugene didn't even stop there. Then he finds somebody else that he could give generously of himself to help. And he found a family that had 24 members living in a household together. And he was able to find this man some kind of a job making sewing, and they started this little company. You know, God prospers us. If you've been blessed, he didn't bless you just so you can have more and more, and you can watch your accounts grow and see your stocks go up, and you can, you know, focus on that. He's blessed you so that you can truly be a blessing to someone else. And there's no greater joy in life than blessing other people with what you have. There's no greater joy, because after all, you can't take it with you. So let me go back to that original question. What if God would say, tonight's your last night on earth? Would he look at you and say, you fool, did you really think what you have, what you did was all your own? Did you not stop to think that I helped you, provided for you, gave you the ability and the health to work? And your relationship with me? Where did I come in this picture? Your focus in worship has been on getting more and more and watching your bank account grow. Have I not been the center of your worship? Did you ever share sacrificially with those in need? Did you ever do without so that you could help someone in desperate need? And what have you done to further my kingdom here and abroad? Or would he say to you, you are rich towards me because you've nurtured daily your relationship with me. You long to want more and more of me in your life. You can't stop talking about me. And you have shared so greatly of your abundance. And your focus has been on me and your eternal home. What would he say to you? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for this very powerful parable. A parable about greed and about our hearts, Lord. And it's so easy that we can want more and more and more in this life. And it's so easy to want to see our investments grow and grow and grow. And we can be so satisfied in that. And yeah, Lord, if you called us home tonight, would you be satisfied with that? Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to take what you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to dream in ways in which we can really, truly bless other people. Help us to give to further your kingdom here on this earth, because that's where we can take our money with us into eternity, when we can see what we can do for others and how you will bless us and reward us in eternity for that. So help us to get our focus straight. As we go through this Lenten journey, help us to be spiritually fit with very, very generous hearts, because you have been so generous to us. You have given us all, and you have given us your Son that we might have life and have it abundantly. Help us to keep our focus on you and our eternal home in all that we do. And in all that we have, for we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.